I noticed that overall, I perceive you to be someone who is very proactive in maintaining friendships and making new friends. So I really want to be like you. I want to be more proactive with keeping in touch with people, but I have a lot of insecurities and barriers for me. So the first one is that I'm really scared to be tired when the time of the scheduled call or the meetup comes around. The third one, I would say, is the deepest fear and something that I'm trying to unpack is I'm really afraid that I've become a less interesting person.
Welcome to Bamboo and Glass, a space where we discover the abundant possibilities of who we can choose to be. I'm Talon.
And I'm Sophia. We are on our fifth year of podcasting together. And before this, we've known each other for 4 or 5 years. So 9 years of friendship in total. And throughout this friendship, we never lived in the same city or worked in the same city or went to the same school. But I think we kept in touch because of a lot of mutual respect and admiration for each other's life experiences and each other's ability to reflect on what we've learned and share it with each other when the other person might be going through a hard time. So last week we had a really awesome conversation where Pam got to ask a question all about times at work when she lacks confidence and has invasive self-talk. And she tells herself, like, I'm not really capable. I'm a fraud. People are just tolerating my questions at this point. And so I got to share some of my perspectives as someone who's been able to mentor other people at work. And today I have a question on a different topic, which is friendship and kind of like maintaining my and moments where I felt really insecure about friendship or scared to reach out because I don't want to disappoint people. So there's a lot of feelings tied up with my question. So I'm really excited to ask for your help, Pan.
Yeah, and I'm really excited because we are friends. So I don't think we always get a chance to talk about our views on friendship and also how maybe we are vulnerable in our friendships outside of this podcast. And so I'm really excited to get to better understand how you navigate your friendships and see if there's anything from my experiences that I can provide some new perspectives with.
Okay, here's the question. So I noticed that overall, I perceive you to be someone who is very proactive in maintaining friendships and making new friends. For example, there are many times when a friend from high school, which, you know, feels very far back, friend from high school will reach out and you will make time to catch up. And when you see someone interesting on LinkedIn or Instagram, or you meet them through work or film, you are great at reaching out and follow through on scheduling time to get to know each other. And, you know, if you think about all the over 100 guests we've had on our podcast, most of them are your friends or people who you've met for the first time that you really like and you really want to bring onto the podcast. So I really want to be like you. I want to be more proactive with keeping in touch with people, but I have a lot of insecurities and barriers for me. So the first one is that I'm really scared to be tired when the time of the scheduled call or the meetup comes around. I feel like my energy level is unpredictable. My headaches are very unpredictable. And so I really hate that feeling of being really tired, but having to muster up the energy to meet someone. And even though I often really love in the conversation I end up having, it's that initial feeling of, oh, I'm tired, but I still have to go out. I really dread that feeling for some reason. And so the second barrier is I really overvalue spontaneity. Like, I really like keeping my evenings free. So like if I decide I'm going to watch a K-drama, I can. So I think I overvalue spontaneity and I know that. But even though I know that I overvalue spontaneity, that's not enough for me to commit to plans and follow through. I really like keeping my evenings free to be spontaneous, even though I learn time and time again that when I do go out and see people, I'm really happy that I did. And I get a lot of energy and inspiration from seeing them. The third one, I would say, is the deepest fear and something that I'm trying to unpack is I'm really afraid that I've become a less interesting person. Sophia in college was a driven, energized, vibrant person who I was in, I did a lot. I loved school, loved all the classes that I took. I went to talks all the time. I had meals with people all the time. I did dance. I sang. I was in student government. I did a lot of things and pretty unique activities too. And there are moments in college and after college when I have shared that I've just kind of became a less interesting person or shared some sort of insecurity. And people really remembered that and brought that up later. And it just freaked me out because it was like, I feel like I had this really strong impression. I think I had this really strong like reputation in college. And now there are people who are bringing up my weakest and saddest moments, and they really remember those moments, even though I don't remember those moments. Mm-hmm. And they're really bringing it up in conversation. And it just made me feel so ashamed to have gone through some hard things and to become a more like emotionally fragile person. And so, and this is like a really weird feeling for me to be even talking about, because I'm not afraid of telling people that I'm going through a hard time, but I'm afraid of becoming less interesting. And so, and I think where this connection is like, if I'm going through a really hard time and I can have a really interesting reflection about it, to me, that's like, oh, I'm still an interesting person. But if I'm going through a hard time and it just makes me retreat into my shell to do nothing, to just be like a bum at home, that is what I can't take. And I think the last year and a half, there have been a lot of hard things that I've gone through with my family or with my health that have made me both a like homebody and less interesting. And I'm just really afraid that when I catch up with people, I'm going to taint their impression of me. And I'm assuming that their impression of me is that I'm an interesting and admirable person. So very long question and clearly a lot of emotions to unpack here. But TLDR, you seem to be someone who's very proactive in maintaining friendships and making new friends. What would you say to some of these insecurities that I have about seeing people?
Mm-hmm. Well, first off, I want to applaud you for even having already thought about what the barriers are to you feeling like you can't maintain friendships or it's a lot harder for you to make new friends as well. That's a very strong quality of you that I really appreciate, that you've taken the time to be really reflective. And I want to start off by giving that disclaimer that you started this episode by saying that you perceive me to be really proactive. And funnily, I don't really see myself as being that good at keeping up with friends or making new friends. So I think, and actually, I perceive you to be better at that than me. So I think so the takeaway is that perception is everything. And you may be surprised that that could actually apply to you as well. And I don't know how much of a distance maybe you feel I'm quote-unquote ahead in being proactive. Mm-hmm. But we actually may be a lot more similar than mm-hmm. you may be telling yourself or what your mind might be telling you. And you're probably actually better at it than you give yourself credit for as well. Mm-hmm. So the way I like to talk about, I want to talk about this is that I'm a really investigative person when it comes to fears like this, but I also know that sometimes it's really daunting and overwhelming to ask questions that maybe I'm not personally ready to confront and answer yet. That's just kind of the reality of it. Sometimes timing is everything. Mm-hmm. So I'll do my best to present you with some of those big questions that we can talk through, as well as some small actions that one can take to move the needle by even a little millimeter. So mm-hmm. does that sound good to you?
Yes, perfect.
Okay, cool. So I think first off, I was wondering if you gave me three reasons and barriers. Can you rank those reasons that you gave for me as like which one's the most pressing or the one that you really want to focus on, as well as maybe like percentages of how much that makes up your decision to not be proactive?
Okay. The first one is the like deep down, I'm afraid I've become a less interesting person. Mm-hmm. The second one and third one are pretty tied. So I would say the second one is I'm scared to be really tired and not be able to bring my best to the conversation. Again, that's mm-hmm. kind of like the afraid to be lower energy and have people feel disappointed or have people mm-hmm. feel like their positive impression of me is not quite true anymore. So, and then the third one I would say is like overvalue spontaneity. And overvalue keeping my evenings free, even though I like don't end up doing anything interesting with my evenings
Gotcha. Okay, so that's really helpful for you to kind of make that prioritization for yourself of what is worth investing your energy into. So I'm going to go through everything in order of how you had presented them to me, but just kind of keep that ranking in mind for yourself. So friendship is a really interesting concept because I feel like it feels like a guarantee that you want to have friends. But I think what's really unique is deciding for yourself, what is the value of friendships to you? What is the value?
Thought about that.
What is the value of making a new friend in your life? And what kinds of friends do you want to have? I think all of these questions may seem really obvious, but no one friend is the same, right? Like you have different friends for different reasons. And so maybe honing in on what is that unique nuance behind the desire to want friends in your life? And so I know this is kind of could be a deeper question than you would anticipate, but I guess just right off the bat, like what is for you the value of friendships?
Yeah, that's such a good question. I just have never ever thought about that. It also is like this question makes me like slightly uncomfortable in that it's like if I say something, it's like, oh, the value of friendship is X, am I valuing someone just for X instead of valuing them as a person? So I'm just like having all sorts of like reactions to this question.
Yeah. But, well, I want you to just, without letting the overthinking take over too much, just say like what the first thing that kind of comes to mind, just intuitively.
Someone I can have fun with. So whether that's watching a TV show and having someone to giggle with about it, or having someone to go out and enjoy good food with. So, you know, it's like I get to witness their reactions and I get to, you know, it's just more fun to have someone else there enjoying good food. And also maybe a third thing would be having someone's perspective to be inspired by or to be comforted by.
So I feel like I heard mainly three things. One is like companionship over shared activities. Two is inspiration. And three is vulnerability, were the main three pillars that I heard from you. And so we'll keep that in mind as we go through your specific barriers. So the first one you mentioned was the barrier to time management. And that's kind of coupled with your potential exhaustion. Like you mentioned that given your personal health, like you feel like your energy levels are really, really unpredictable. And so I want to start off by sharing that I've definitely canceled things last minute just because I wasn't feeling it. And I think the key here is that I try to not make myself feel too guilty about having scheduled something and feeling like I quote unquote let someone down for not following through or canceling last minute. Because ultimately, I think whatever reason you give, every reason is just as valid. And I think honestly, the person who you are grabbing time with to get a meal or something, I think they would actually really appreciate you being honest and saying that I'm just really not feeling it and I really want to bring my best self to the conversation and to our hangout. And I think I would actually feel really grateful for that perspective because I wouldn't want to force someone to show up to something as an obligation. I would want them to come because they're really genuinely excited to. And so I recognize that my lack of desire to hang out with someone off the bat is real and valid, but also that coexists with my still present desire to have a great conversation and create a meaningful relationship. So you might be thinking, okay, but I can't just be in the cycle of scheduling things and canceling things last minute all the time. So what do I do? So I suggest allowing yourself a lot of spaciousness, and this kind of ties into what you said about spontaneity. Like you in college, I booked things back to back like crazy. Like I don't know what I was on. I don't know what kind of energy that came from for me to just be hyper lasered on every single interaction that I was having. But a big contrast is in this last year in 2022, I had many days where I literally had nothing scheduled. And I realized after getting to experience that for the first time, how much I loved having so much time to myself. And so what I did was I made an expectation, a rule for myself of having only a certain number of calls or hangouts per week. So I gave myself the rule of having only two calls per week. And I also put an aggressive time window on that. So mm-hmm. by that, I mean, if I'm going to schedule something, it has to be between the hours of 3 to 5 p.m. on weekdays. That's the time frame I gave, the boundary I set for myself. And I created that aggressive time window, and it also adjusted as, you know, time went on and things changed. But it started off by me loosely noticing when I did have the most energy and was less likely to have conflicts. For example, I noticed that in the mornings, I don't like to schedule things because I get really tired after hanging out, and then I am very unproductive for the rest of the day. So my sweet spot is actually to schedule things for the afternoon. It gives me enough time to do things on my own that I wanted to do, and also gives me time to get ready and really set the tone and the mood for how I want to show up for those conversations and interactions. And sometimes I also vary up that rule. For example, how many of those calls are with people I want to reconnect with, and how many are those of those are with new people that I've been meaning to reach out to. I try to give myself kind of like that benchmark, and I keep the numbers really conservative because I really want to make sure that it feels overly attainable for me so that it really boosts my confidence. So if I said, I want to meet one new person this month, then that gives me 30 days to meet one new person. And that's, and I'm like, I could totally do that. Like, I have 30 chances to try to do that. And so I hope that that can be encouraging to you to kind of set metrics in a way for you to feel like you have moved the needle just a little bit for yourself.
Yeah. Oh, this is also interesting. I totally agree with like the managing that your energy throughout the day. I was so good at doing that for schoolwork. Like I'm really good at doing readings in the morning, essays at night, for example. But yeah, with the friendship thing, that is really good. I also agree, if I wake up and see someone in the morning, the rest of my day is kind of like, I'm kind of tired. Whereas it's nice to have something in the middle of my day to have like a target for when I have to finish my morning. And then the rest of the evening, it's like, I still have that time to myself. That's really good. I also like the perspective of like making one new friend a month. Instead of that being like a really daunting number, kind of thinking about it as like, I actually have a lot of time. Like I have 30 days. I have 30, you know, if I only see one friend a day, I have 30 chances to make that happen in the month. That feels like a good amount of chances.
Exactly. Yeah. It's really again, like that vote of confidence that you can put to yourself to really say like, oh, wow, I achieved this goal of getting to meet someone new. I am able, I'm very capable of making new friendships. And I think as you get more confident, then you may increase that number because you're on a roll and you've gained that momentum. But I think it has to start off with feeling that sense of accomplishment and fulfillment. On the topic of energy levels being unpredictable, I know that When it's unpredictable, it can feel like there's no rhyme or reason behind it. But if you're able to, can you identify some factors that make it unpredictable? Maybe it's stress from work. Maybe it's working late. Maybe it's not sleeping enough. And if you take that into account, maybe that means, actually, I don't have capacity to meet people on weeknights. And so even if they say that they can only meet on weeknights, I'm sorry, I'm not going to be able to, honestly. Or I have to pick a day where I guarantee that work is going to be really, really light for me. And on the flip side, also thinking of some things, not necessarily related to friendships, but just some things that guarantee give you more energy. For example, I get really excited about food. And so if I have a place that I want to go, that's just something to keep in mind as another forcing function to help me get excited for a hangout. And we'll come back to that point.
I really love that. I think for me, it is food as well. And for me, if I've noticed that if I exercise in the morning, that boost lasts for so many hours. And so I tend to do the most annoying tasks right after I exercise because that's when I'm feeling the biggest high of like, oh, so proud of myself for walking. Yeah. Oh, good job.
Yeah. Definitely, definitely. And I know that we are big fans of Atomic Habits. So that's really going to play a big part into the second barrier, which you said is overvaluing spontaneity. You like to keep your evenings free in case you want to, you know, watch a K-drama or do something else on your own. And so I think, again, thinking about what are some of those spontaneous things you've ended up doing by keeping your time free? Are there other things that you want to share us outside of like watching K-dramas or something?
Yeah, maybe just getting to take an extra long time to cook, or getting to, or like, you know, those moments when you feel an extra burst of energy to get through all the tedious things you haven't done. It's kind of like that. So it's like, oh, got through the tedious task of planning a trip, of sorting out annoying logistics. I think I'm afraid of losing those moments of energy for completing annoying tasks. But you're right. Maybe I just need to, you know, schedule the hangout and trust that I can manufacture those moments of energy through exercise or through, you know, other predictable sources of energy.
Yeah, exactly. And it also sounds like these spontaneous things that you try to keep your time open for tend to be done on your own. Is that correct?
Yes,
Okay,
all of them.
cool. That's really great to know. So, with regards to it feeling maybe a catch up, feeling like it's not as fun or takes up a lot of energy. And this is all you already said, this is all just things that you tell yourself before the hangout. And then afterwards, like you feel really great afterwards. So we're focusing on like, what are the reasons that you come up with that make you think like, oh, a catch up is gonna take out a lot of energy or not be as fun? A sub question under that is, what do your meetings, hangouts, catch ups usually look like? For example, are they always meeting over coffee or a meal? Or maybe they're all over Zoom where all you can really do in that space is just
Just
talk the
talk.
whole time and stare at a computer screen,
Yes,
which I know you already stare at a computer screen for at least 40 hours a week. So I want to take this overvaluing of spontaneity and encourage you to see that you can actually really be spontaneous in your creativity of how you manage or foster friendships. For example, just to get to know someone, it doesn't always have to be an hour-long coffee session. For example, take icebreakers. Icebreakers may not necessarily tell you a ton of essential info about someone, but sometimes they're just silly and fun and literally just help break the ice for you to feel like a smidge sense of more closeness to someone. And it also, again, manufactures that excitement and energy to actually want to get to know that person, even if right off the bat you don't know that much about them, which may bring into question like what kind of a friend are they? And so taking a page from Atomic Habits, let's habit stack. So you want to do something you know you'll be excited and energized for, and try adding a friend into the mix. For example, you're probably really excited about a new BTS music video that comes out. Do like a little watch party. It doesn't even have to be you invite people over. It can just be, hey, let's find a time to just get on a call and watch it together. And then that'll probably manifest into like a long conversation of like how much you love BTS and also other topics that you weren't planning on having. You said that you love exploring new food. So let's say a new food place popped up near you that you want to try. Maybe instead of always going by yourself or going with Kevin, for example, maybe try taking a friend with you, just spontaneously being like, hey, I saw this new place. Like, would you be free tomorrow to go check it out? I know you also like taking walks outside. Maybe invite a friend to go on a walk with you, or invite a friend to meet you somewhere along the walk, or just phone the friend spontaneously as you're doing the walk.
I love these. Yeah, these are so good because all of this really relates to the third fear that I have, which is that I've become a less interesting person. And I think that fear comes out the most when I'm in a conversation with someone and they ask me, like, have you been? Or how's your job search? Or how is Kevin? How are your parents? Are you getting engaged soon? It's like, you know, all these big questions. It's like, oh my God, now I have to decide like what to say, how much to say it, what tone of voice to say it in, like, how do I, what did, yeah. I think I just end up using my brain and my emotional decision making so much that I like freak out when I'm catching up with someone.
I don't know what it is about like a Zoom call or a sit down coffee chat situation. For some reason, I feel like
Just so locked in, like
you
it's
feel locked
freaky.
in. You feel locked in, and it also feels like you were supposed to ask like those deeper questions. When another example I'll give is like maybe there's a hobby you've been wanting to start, but maybe you're just kind of scared to do it by yourself. Like inviting a friend to do that with you actually don't have to talk at all, like while you're doing the hobby. Or it's like, for example, I started taking dance classes and I come go with a friend. And I think it's just fun to see my friend also be either similarly awkward or be really amazing at dancing. And I'm like, oh my God, this is a whole new side of that person I would not be able to see if I just got coffee and sat in a Zoom call with them. And so I think there's a lot of ways we can vary up and make it more, make the concept of the hangout even more exciting for yourself. But you mentioned, again, the biggest barrier and the deepest fear is that maybe you've become a less interesting person. So I think that's a greater piece of reflection of why is it important for you to be an interesting person? And two, what to you is the compilation of an interesting person? Are they interesting because of their humor, their thoughtfulness, their interests, their career? And kind of reflect on maybe like, how do you deem yourself an interesting person? Like, what is the criteria you use for yourself? Versus what criteria do you use for your friends as to why they are interesting people? I think more often than not, I think you may realize that you give yourself a lot more criteria to evaluate yourself
for
sure. Than you would with a friend. I feel like if you have a friend who's been, you know, being a homebody for the last year and a half, but they reached out to talk to you, you probably would respond with a lot of enthusiasm because you're like, I haven't talked to them in a really long time and it's just would be nice to see their face or just hear their voice. And so that's not even based on being an interesting person, actually. And
I'm like now starting to think why I value being an interesting person. First of all, I have no like clear definition for it, but the first thing that comes to mind is when I think about what I've been quote unquote known for or complimented for consistently, it's like, oh, Sophia has interesting reflections on things, or she's really self-aware. And when that is what I'm complimented for, that's the identity and expectation that I sort of take on for myself. And that becomes the type of conversation that I pursue because I think those are the conversations that reinforce this identity that people have just like given me. And I'm like, okay, sounds good. I guess I'm an interesting person. I'm down for that to be like my thing.
So you kind of let other people take the wheel in terms of the direction of what kinds of conversations you have versus you taking the wheel of deciding what you want to share about yourself or your life or something.
Yeah. And it's just been the safest persona to reinforce. Not that it's fake. I'm not saying it's a persona and that it's fake. It's like the safest thing to play up, I'll say.
Yeah. Well, I want to pull a quote from Niles' episode that we recently did where it was called Why Mundane Moments Make the Best Stories. So he said that most people don't give themselves enough credit that their lives are interesting. And good storytelling isn't looking for content. It's giving the content that's already happening in your life the spotlight it deserves. So if we take a couple of examples from the stories that Niles has told us. One, he told us about the time that he found a dead squirrel. And two, he told us about the time where he almost passed out twice while watching a C-section. Does that have anything to do with his career, with his ambition, with his interests, with his hobbies? No. It actually has nothing to do with that. But that doesn't take away from the fact that I know I'm going to have a good time hanging out with Niles. And he doesn't have to come up with a whole new story every single time. Like, that's not the expectation I would want him to have when I hang out with him. But it's just actually more of an indicator of he's just a funny guy. He's just the way he is funny. Like, he doesn't even have to try to be funny. And I think in a similar way, maybe it'd be interesting for you to ask that question to your friends of like, oh, what are three adjectives that you would describe me with? And maybe that would be interesting to see whether it is similar or differs from your perception of how people view you. I think when I was younger, I think I identified as being very ambitious. And I think at the time, a lot of people did use that word. But the two other words would have something completely different. It would have to do with compassion, maybe. It would have to do with thoughtfulness. Nothing to do with career, which I thought was going to be the main thing that I was known for.
Yeah, I don't even know what my friends would say.
Answer that question for you?
I think the main, like, I don't even know what other axes of my personality exist. It's kind of just like, oh, Sophia's an interesting person to talk to, or she's very enthusiastic, which also feels...
perpetuates so, the whole needing, like, high energy.
Yes.
I think, again, though, there are, I've as a friend, I've witnessed times that you just naturally are really high energy and you don't manufacture that. Manufacture is such a icky word, but you know what I mean. Like, it's not like a conscious effort that you are bringing up energy. I think anytime you talk about BTS, or even like when we were talking about Singles Inferno, like you just naturally are animated. Really excited. Yeah, animated. And so maybe there is an intersection there of like, maybe there are other friends who are just as excited about those topics that will, and getting to one bond with someone over that, and also getting a chance to have a new type of friendship be cultivated, different from what maybe your friendships were in the past. Both of those can be really energizing, which isn't to mean that you can't talk about the things that you've talked about in the past, but it can be exciting just to see that friendship evolve as well. And I think also you mentioned college as a focal point, as like a starting point where people probably remember you the best by, because it's just kind of like this melting pot of tons of different personalities, interests, etc. But again, people change, and you might be surprised that a lot of people are actually homebodies more so than you would think.
Yeah, and there's just a mutual understanding that it's so much easier and comfortable to be a homebody, and there's literally nothing wrong with it. It's what all of us are doing.
Exactly. Yeah. So I wanted to offer an activity that everyone, including our listeners, can do on their own. So I'm a big fan of mindset shifts, which is evident in the conversation we had in the last episode and also in this conversation. I think they can feel intangible and inaccessible at first, but what doesn't when it's your first time trying it? So they say that your thoughts become your words, which become your habits, which become your lifestyle. And so there's this TikTok I saw by a TikToker named Mind Body Soul Cass, where she suggests that you split a piece of paper down the middle or make two columns on your digital doc. The left side is going to be everything that is old, and then the right side is going to be everything that is new. You're going to start off by writing identity. So like, what is an old identity that you want to leave behind you, leave in the past? And then the right side, you're going to write the new identity that you kind of want to step into or really cultivate. On those respective sides, you'll then go into beliefs. So for example, what are some beliefs that you have that perpetuate that old identity? And then on the new side, what are some beliefs that can help perpetuate the right side to make you really believe that you are of that new identity? Underneath, then you write thoughts. What are the thoughts that you tell yourself that perpetuate the respective identities? And the last thing is repeated actions, because actions can speak louder than words. And so what are some actions that you take that can help reinforce either one of those identities? So I can give you an example with this, and you're more than welcome to share as well what your reflections are on this activity. I think if I were talking about friendships, I would say that my old identity is I identified as someone who only does well in one-on-one friendships and does not do well in group friendships. And my new identity is I want to be someone who's at the center of big friend circles. Let's say those are my two identities. So for my old identity, I think my beliefs are that I don't come off as an interesting person unless we get into deep conversations, and deep conversations only happen in one-on-one settings. Thoughts that I have are, oh, I'm also not that funny. I'm not that fun to be around on a superficial setting, and I need to get into deep conversations where I get to flex my question-asking skills or really flex my vulnerabilities. And my repeated actions are, I only reach out to people one-on-one. I never consider adding another person into the conversation or the planning of a hangout. And then three, I say no to a lot of group hangouts, actually. So in the right side, I would then write, again, the beliefs, thoughts, and repeated actions. So for example, I'd say, I'll say yes to more group hangouts, even if I don't know anyone. Like, I say yes to hangouts where I only know one person. Or I'll say that I actually am more proactive about inviting people into a hangout that I'm hosting. And by writing all of these down really detailed, I think you can really see that, one, the changes don't have to be big. The small changes add up into a whole new identity you've given yourself. I'm curious, like, if you did the exercise and what maybe some of your reflections are of what is attainable and what is actionable for you.
Yeah, if I were to think about like some of the feelings or actions that reinforce this fear that I'm not an interesting person, I think some of the feelings that come from it are this feeling of like falling behind, wanting to hide. I'm like regressing as a person. Mm-hmm. Or that like I'm confusing people, or that I'm, I don't want to say like letting people down, but I think,
but that might just be a valid thing, that if that came up, that maybe just there might be a little bit of truth to that in terms of what you believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think the moments or the beliefs and the stories that I keep reinforcing in my head are the times when the friend has brought up like a really low or sad or like part of my life. And I'm like, holy shit, like you remember that and you're bringing that up. Like clearly my actions in this hangout are really memorable to you, and I have to be really careful and I have to really monitor how I act in the hangout. And so I think there's a couple moments of like friends who have brought up those things, and I just keep replaying those moments in my head, which makes it like really
even
scary,
more present. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It makes it really scary for me to just say yes to hanging out with someone and not like watch my actions. And I think these friends are, and it was particularly scary with these friends because they are sort of like my connection point to other friends. And so it's like, holy shit, like they're, I would not be surprised if they said really negative things about me behind my back, either out of worry or out of like, I don't know, gossip.
Yeah.
I think the new identity that I want to have is like, I wouldn't say it's a complete contrast, but I do want to feel internally vibrant and revitalized, because that is not the last year. That is like not how I felt at all about my life. And so I think some of the actions or repeated actions I want to take is like keeping promises to myself, like the whole, you know, atomic habits thing, where it's like, the more I keep promises to myself, the more I feel confident and energized to like do other things and make even bigger promises to myself. Or also spending money on new experiences, which will again, like help me feel like proud of trying something new, or this feeling that like life is vibrant and there's so many things out there to enjoy.
Yeah. I love that. Thank you so much for sharing. I want to end by sharing a system that could be really helpful for you to move that needle and in a way better cultivate and manage your friendships. So I found this on TikTok. It's called clay.earth, and its whole slogan is deepen your friend relationships. Every part of clay is impeccably designed to help you remember the people in your life. So this is actually used by a lot of CEOs and business folks to connect and to keep in touch with their network. But there's actually a free version that any person can use. And I think this is really beneficial for not just your network, but also just your everyday friendships. And so I would say that there's four pillars. Two of the pillars are like kind of, they make a lot of sense. The first one is having a place to jot down notes of your conversation with someone. And you can even take notes directly from like the push notifications that Clay gives you, so that you're never distracted from your conversation with someone. And it also has a voice transcription service, so you can, it can use machine learning to better make the note-taking process more seamless for you. The second thing is creating little groups, because you have friend groups, you have people that you know from school, people you've met in a particular community. And so you can group those people to be so that you see their names in under one list. There's two aspects that I think are really cool about Clay that I really want to share with you. One is that we don't remember the days, but we remember the moments. And so on Clay, you can remember the last time you chatted or the first time you met, and you can have all your notes compiled in the same place about the person. The second part of this is that seeing the right person at the right time can feel like magic. So you can set a reminder for particular days, like a birthday or an anniversary, or pick a preset. One of the presets is you can set cadences of how often you want to reconnect with that person. And so Clay will remind you, like, let's say every month, that you wanted to catch up with this person. And not only will they let you know that, they'll also have all of your notes in one place about that person. That's something that I've become really insecure about with my friendships is I can really quickly forget what I talked about in the last conversation I had with them. So this is a really great way to just have two or three bullet points that are really well organized for you to, you know, even just take 5 minutes out of, you know, right before your hangout with them mm-hmm. and just remind yourself like, oh yeah, this is what we had talked about. Oh yeah, this person is getting engaged in September, or this person mm-hmm. Was thinking about leaving their job. I can ask them about how that was going. So mm-hmm. that's a really helpful app that I've started using to document some of my interactions with people. And it also is kind of cool to not limit yourself to only talk about like career, only limit yourself to the things that you've talked about with them in the past. You can really see it evolve for your in front of your own eyes. So that's an app that you might be really interested in, and I'd be really curious how you end up using it too.
Yes. Oh my gosh, Than, thank you for, I know I had just a long question with a lot of layers. Thank you for just digging in at every layer and giving me so many questions to think about, like, what is the value of friendship? What is the value of making a new friend? I've never thought about that. I don't know.
Isn't it funny? Like, if it's yeah. such an innocuous question, but you're like, whoa, I have no answer to it.
I just have always felt the pressure to, like, keep up with people and yeah. make new friends. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you for just this very compassionate conversation and, you know, advice and support. There's so much more I'm excited to reflect on and excited to do. Mm-hmm. I particularly like the idea of finding hangouts that are less centered on conversations, because I think that just really solves all three problems
yeah.
that I have.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm so glad that was really so helpful. Fun. Yeah. If you were to pick one thing that you are going to do differently next week, what would that one thing be from this conversation?
Yeah, I think it would be to find a hangout that's not centered on food and sitting down and talking. So even if it was something just slightly different, like instead of a restaurant we're sitting, it's like a food court where we can constantly be going up and getting things coming down. Even that feels a little bit more different. Mm-hmm. Or walking. Walking is another one. There are a lot of really beautiful areas around Bellevue, or people who are listening to this and live near me, let me know. We can go walk together. Yeah. We don't even need to talk.
Yeah.
We can
just both hey, have look at, our you made that one new friend in January then.
Yes. Thank you so much, Than. As always, such a comforting and inspiring conversation. And there's a lot. I haven't done my vision board yet, LOL.
Sorry. Oh, okay.
I'll probably do it by the end of end of January. But this gives me so much more to like add to my vision board. Because I think a huge gap that I had in it was friendship, which is something that I had felt really insecure about, but didn't know like what to do or what the problem was. So now it's so clear to me how I feel, what I should reflect on, and like what I should try to do more of. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, this has been a very fun two-part series of Dear Bamboo and Glass. We had our first conversation last episode where Than asked me a question, and this time I got to ask Than a question. If you feel inspired or comforted by this conversation and can think of someone else who would enjoy listening to it, please let them know that we are on every podcasting platform, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, you name it, and let them know that we come up with new episodes every Sunday. Our conversations are about discovering the abundant possibilities of who you can choose to be. In this conversation, it was about the abundant possibilities of your identity and how you engage in friendships, which is such a big part of life that I don't hear people talk about at all. So I'm so glad we got to talk about it. And if you enjoyed this conversation and want to play a part in helping more people find Bamboo and Glass, consider rating and reviewing us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. And if you want to reach out to us and do an event with us, or just ask us some questions, please reach out on Instagram at Bamboo and Glass. And with that, thank you again, Than, for a wonderful conversation. And we will see you next Sunday. Bye.